The Church of Scientology may soon be facing criminal charges in the mysterious death of a young woman. Her family says she was desperately trying to leave the church. And now, as Michael Aiella reports, Florida police are recommending that the church be criminally prosecuted.
According to her family, 36-year-old Scientologist Lisa McPherson lived a normal, healthy life. That is, until 2 years ago, when she was picked up by paramedics after a minor traffic accident walking naked on this busy Clearwater, Florida street. In accordance with Church of Scientology teachings, McPherson refused psychiatric exams and was released into the custody of fellow church members. She was taken to this hotel, which in 1975 was converted into the world headquarters of the Church of Scientology. 17 days later, McPherson was dead from a blood clot caused by severe dehydration. According to McPherson's family, she was in prison, punishment for wanting to leave the church. The pictures show cuts and bruises on her hands and arms. The church says they are cockroach bites. A lawyer for the family says church members tied her down and denied her water and refused to seek help.
When you see someone who needs help and you just sit back and you fold your hands and you just not do anything, then you cross the line of negligence and now you're into an intentional act.
The church says its members did nothing wrong.
There is absolutely not a scintilla of evidence in this case from one person who has said that she was tied up or restrained. In fact, the evidence is just the opposite.
The Church of Scientology was founded in the 1960s and claims to have 8 million members around the world, including movie megastars Tom Cruise and John Travolta. Some critics have called the group a cult. Del Liebrick is Lisa McPherson's aunt. She's filed a wrongful death suit against the church. She thinks the church wanted her niece dead.
To me, it's just a cult. It's a brainwashing, mind-controlling cult.
Local police have made their recommendation. It will now be up to the district attorney to decide what, if any, charges should be filed. Today, they could not be reached for comment. In a statement released yesterday by the Church of Scientology, they dispute the findings of the medical examiner and claim that McPherson died suddenly and accidentally, not from complications related to dehydration. Greg?
All right, Mike, thanks for that report. Harvard Law Professor Arthur Miller, there clearly have to be problems with this kind of a prosecution should prosecutors bring a criminal case against the church.
There are, Greg. First of all, what did she die of? Did she die of something induced by the treatment that she was subjected to by the Scientologists? If she died of natural causes, if she died of a pre-existing condition, it's very hard to hold the church. And it will be very difficult for the prosecution to prove what actually went on and that there was a true duty to bring her medical assistance in those last days of her life. So it's not an easy prosecution.
Ruth Jones, I talked to Bill Drescher this evening, just a little less than an hour ago. He's an attorney in Los Angeles who represents the Church of Scientology, though not in this case. He says that they have evidence that the woman died of a blood clot caused by that auto accident 17 days earlier, not, as the coroner says, by dehydration. That would make a big difference, wouldn't it?
Well, it would make a difference, but it would still not answer all the questions. Let's say, for example, she did die because of the blood clot pursuant to the automobile accident. But let's also say the prosecution is suggesting that if she had received medical treatment and did not receive medical treatment because of members of the church, they may still be able to proceed under some type of theory that the church members interfered with her being able to receive the appropriate attention, and but for their actions, she would have lived. But it would still be a very difficult prosecution. Are they trying? Would they prosecute the entire church? If so, is it the institution? Are they going? Would they try to proceed against various individuals? What the cause of death, as author has talked about, certainly would be a subject of a duel of experts. And ultimately, the question is, do they have the evidence to suggest that any individual had a duty to help her? This is not like some other countries where the law automatically assumes that if you see someone in trouble, you have to help them. That's not the case in America. In America, there has to be some type of relationship between individuals. Traditionally, we see parent-child, And sometimes there might be strangers, there might be some argument that because she was signed out of a facility to the church, they had a responsibility. But that's a really tough task.
I mean, she's at a church retreat, sponsored by the church, monitored by the church. It's on church property. They own the hotel. And she's in one of their rooms. And in fact, during the 17 days that she is there, there are workers who are periodically checking in on her, and they have, police have, 33 pages of handwritten logs from these workers. So obviously they were making notes of it. Arthur Miller, what difference would that make? If these logs show a steady decline into dementia, soiling herself, not eating, rejecting food, vomiting, not drinking, that sort of thing.
If those logs indicate that she, in effect, was a dependent person in their care, then I think they did have a duty to provide medical assistance. And what's important to understand here, Greg, is this is not a religion issue. The precepts of the Scientologists allow for medical assistance. They do not allow for psychiatric assistance. So it will be impossible, I think, for the Scientologists to claim that what they did out of religious conviction. Even in that case, as some cases involving other religious groups indicate, in this country, that is not a defense when somebody is clearly endangered, as, for example, a child. I think this person may well have been in custody. They owed her a duty. They should have provided her with medical assistance, and that is the linchpin of the prosecution.
And final word out to Ruth Jones. Look, the question of free will here will invariably come up if there is a criminal prosecution, and certainly there's a civil case. It is a charge that is often made that the Church of Scientology is really a cult, that people there are brainwashed and that they are essentially imprisoned. Will that be a part of this case?
Certainly, because I think certainly the choices that this young woman made in going to the Scientology place when she was ill will be an issue. And I think it would be very, very good.
The Church of Scientology is accused of killing a woman. A lawsuit claims a member of a controversial church was held against her will for 17 days at a church retreat and then died. That civil lawsuit for wrongful death is pending right now, but now comes a new challenge. The police in Clearwater, Florida have just finished a 2-year investigation of the very same case, and they're recommending criminal prosecution. It all began when 36-year-old Lisa McPherson was picked up by paramedics after a minor auto accident walking down the street naked. Once at the hospital, she was released into the care of 7 Scientologists whose religion opposes psychiatry. McPherson was taken to the church retreat where she spent most of the next 17 days inside a room, the room in which she almost died. The medical examiner says McPherson was deprived of water for at least her last 5 to 10 days and died of a blood clot brought on by severe dehydration. She was dead at the hospital. A Scientology lawyer I spoke with says the blood clot was caused by the traffic accident 17 days earlier. So who's to blame, if anybody at all? And what happened to Lisa McPherson? Joining us now live in Tampa, Florida is Ken Dandar, the lawyer representing the estate of Lisa McPherson and who filed the wrongful death lawsuit. And in our New York newsroom is Laura Vaughn, the attorney defending the Church of Scientology. Thank you both for being with us. Ms. Vaughn, first to you, what happened to Lisa McPherson during those 17 days?
Well, it's somewhat of a long story. There have been reports that have been made a part of the public record, but Lisa McPherson had a psychotic episode. She strongly opposes psychiatry, as would any Scientologist of 13 years, and she asked to not be committed to a psychiatric institution at the hospital and to leave with her friends, fellow parishioners from the church. She did, and for a period of 17 days, a number of women, fellow parishioners from the church, stayed with her on a 24-hour basis. Ms. McPherson was mentally disturbed. She was psychotic. She had difficulties with sequitur speech and a number of things, and these women stayed with her on a 24-hour basis, attending to her physical needs and doing everything that they could to help her deal with her problems.
Look, I went through the 33 pages of notes here, the handwritten logs by those individuals you're referring to, the workers there who cared for her for 24 hours, and here's what you find. Spitting out food, vomiting, ashing, feverish, violent, striking her attendants, banging on the walls, soiled herself, hallucinated. And then we get to the hospital 17 days later, and she has lost roughly
47 pounds from the time that a paramedic took her to the hospital. She was thin, dirty, unkempt, scratches, bruises on her arms and legs, and of course, she was dead. Isn't there some legal duty that your clients owed to this woman to get her medical care? I'm not talking about psychiatric care, medical care.
First of all, I disagree with your characterization. You pulled out little bits and pieces here and there, and I strongly disagree with the amount of weight she lost. I disagree with what happened during those 17 days. She was psychotic, though, and there's no question that she engaged in psychotic behavior. But these women stayed with her and attempted to do everything to help her. They bathed her. There were times when she refused to use the toilet, and they helped. They changed her clothes when she did that. But ultimately, what she died of 17 days later was a pulmonary embolism. And I think if you lose sight of that in this case, brought on by trauma, and we will have medical experts who will testify that there was some trauma, possibly from the car accident, because if you look at the clinical history, that was the factor that existed at the time. It could have been caused by the car accident. It could have predated her stay at the Fort Harrison Hotel.
All right.
But it was certainly 2 to 4 weeks prior to the injury, and that's what caused her death.
Ken Dandar, what killed her?
The treatment that Scientology rendered to Lisa McPherson killed her.
Were they negligent, reckless, or did they intentionally kill her, in your view?
Well, when they first forced her into isolation before the car accident, they forced her into isolation, according to Scientology rules and regulations, to help her snap out of what they thought was a psychotic break. After she escaped, she had her car accident. They convinced her to come back to the hotel, the Fort Harrison Hotel in Clearwater. And after a few days of that treatment at the Fort Harrison Hotel, their own records indicate that she's acting bizarre. She wasn't acting bizarre in the emergency room. She's acting bizarre after the Scientologist grabbed her and brought her back to the hotel. And then she's incapable of walking. She's in bed. She's restrained at times, according to the Scientology records, because she's fighting them. She's banging on the walls. And this girl had absolutely no bruises on her, no marks, no injuries on November the 18th of 1995. On December 5th, when they bring her to the hospital, 45 minutes away, she has bruises on her back, on the bottom of her feet, she has a bloody chin, a bloody nose, and she's dead on arrival. Scientology went beyond negligence and willfully and intentionally watched her die after following their so careful treatment that they say they gave her.
Laura Vaughn, your response to that, and in that response, please answer Greg's question. What about medical care, putting aside the issue of psychiatric treatment and the beliefs of the church in that regard? Why not provide her with medical care, and weren't these Scientologists, as Mr. Dandar suggests, at least negligent?
First, my first response is that Ken Dandar has yet to depose one witness who stayed with Lisa McPherson for those 17 days, has yet to ask the first question about what happened to her during that time period. And what's lost in this whole thing is that these women, Lisa McPherson was psychotic. And if you went to a psychiatric institution right now and had to spend some time with a person who was psychotic, you would find that they often speak non sequitur, that they are violent at times, that she refused food at times. But these women, at great personal sacrifice, stayed with her, they tried to feed her, they cared for her, they changed her clothes.
But they
all these women did try to help her.
They could not cure her. And those other folks you're talking about are folks who most often are treated medically and perhaps psychiatrically.
Let's talk about curing her. You, as a I really don't know what your religion is. I'm not a Scientologist, and I think normal Judeo-Christian, in the normal Judeo-Christian world, you may or may not believe in psychiatric treatment, but it isn't a religious, there isn't a religious prohibition to it. Curing Lisa McPherson, as you've indicated, what should have been done with her would be to take her to a psychiatric institution. Lisa McPherson, during the time that she was at the Church of Scientology, if taken to for treatment, would have been taken for psychiatric treatment. It is her constitutional right to refuse psychiatric treatment. It was her constitutional right when she made that decision in the hospital. It remains her right to refuse psychiatric treatment. And certainly now, after the fact, Mr. Dandar cannot say that the church was somehow negligent and certainly not criminally responsible for failing to give her psychiatric treatment.
Let's pause here for just a moment. We're going to continue this discussion. I'm not sure we've really gotten a straight answer. Did the Church of Scientology owe a duty of care for medical treatment of one of those who was literally in their care? We'll be right back to answer that question. Lisa McPherson died during the 17 days she spent in a room at a Church of Scientology retreat. A civil lawsuit claims she was a prisoner there. So severely mistreated, she died of a blood clot caused by severe dehydration. Police are now recommending a criminal prosecution. But the church insists it did nothing wrong, that her death was a terrible accident. Let's go to Ray Brown, veteran criminal defense attorney, and our colleague here at Court TV. Ray, what does the law say about a case like this?
Greg, there are two legal principles we ought to keep in mind in these matters. One is fairness or due process. The other is duty. Fairness requires that we keep in mind that Scientology has been attacked many times and in many places, and you have to look carefully when charges are made against unpopular organizations. But on the other hand, when you come to duty, Ms. Vaughn keeps talking about the fact that McPherson was psychotic. That doesn't answer the question, it poses it. A psychotic person is out of touch with reality, the equivalent of a child. So if you have care of a psychotic person for 17 days, you have some questions to answer in terms of your duty. If the person would have died no matter what can you say? But if, on the other hand, there was a failure to give her the care required of a helpless child, then there may be serious problems in the civil case now pending or the criminal litigation that may be to come.
Laura Vaughn, how do you respond?
I'll answer your question. The reason that I was talking about psychiatric treatment was because when there was no indication that Lisa McPherson had a medical condition that was going to cause her death. And I think you need to look a few places, and you can see that the evidence so far on the record that's part of the public record indicates that. She died of a thrombus of her left popliteal vein with no external signs or symptoms of that. That means that these parishioners who were with her had no idea that she had a thrombus that ultimately turned into an embolus. Prior to that, prior to the time that she appeared to be ill, it was a psychiatric condition that she had, which brings up another legal issue. Does the church have a duty to take her to see a psychiatrist? And if you're saying that they had a duty to take her somewhere prior to that, you are imposing a duty to take a woman to a psychiatrist who had, one, made an affirmative decision that she did not want to see a psychiatrist in accordance with her religious beliefs, and also imposing a duty on the Church of Scientology to go against her wishes and seek psychiatric treatment, which would be against their religious beliefs as well.
Ken Dandar, you say that the church willfully and intentionally killed her. Why would they want her dead?
As bizarre as this sounds, the Church of Scientology will let a member die before they face bad public relations. According to their own copyrighted books on rules and regulations of Scientology, here was a Scientologist who took off her clothes in public and said to the paramedics, "Don't worry, I'm not crazy. I took off my clothes because I need help. I need to talk to someone." And this has caused great public relation problems with Scientology. On December 1st, 1995, and by the way, I did take the deposition of a medical doctor who's a Scientologist on staff, and unfortunately that doctor pled the Fifth Amendment. So when they start pleading the Fifth Amendment, I can't ask any more questions.
But Ken Dandar, certainly the worst public relations disaster is death of this woman.
Well, why did they take her to a hospital 45 minutes away to a fellow Scientologist when she's in a coma from severe dehydration, rather than a few blocks down the road to the Morton Plant Hospital, where all the Scientologists go? There's only one common sense logical conclusion: to cover it all up.
Well, if they want her dead, why take such fastidious notes, 33 pages, although I'll point out, and it's important to know, the last 2 days of the notes, the 2 days, critical days that led to her death, they're suddenly and magically missing.
The Scientologists are meticulous on taking notes. The rules are you must take notes on isolation minute by minute. There's more than just a few days missing. The last 2.5 days of her life are missing. They claim they searched the world to find these last 2.5 days. The question is, why did you have to search at all? Why aren't these records with the rest of these records? There's a lot of records here.
Greg, I think the real ultimate question is going to be whether the Scientologists can answer questions, not about psychiatric care, but about whether this woman, who appears to have lost substantial weight and had other problems, got adequate medical care.
And Raymond Brown, it seems we're hearing two very extreme views here, but isn't there a possibility that the true fact, lies somewhere in the middle?
That's true. That's why a civil case may be more difficult for the Scientologist than a criminal case. But remember, there are degrees of negligent homicide as well as homicide with intent.
All right. Thank you to all of our guests. And coming right up on Primetime Justice, 3 full days of deliberations and still no verdict.